I'd like to share a few scriptures with us this morning. I'd like to look first in Isaiah, the 40th chapter. Isaiah 40 and 27 said, "Why sayest thou, O Jacob, and speakest, O Israel, my way is hid from the Lord, and my judgment is passed over from my God? Hast thou not known, hast thou not heard, that the everlasting God, the Lord, the Creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary? There is no searching of his understanding. He giveth power to the faint, to them that have no might, he increaseth strength. Even the youths shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint." It started out here by saying, "Why sayest thou, Jacob, and speakest, O Israel, my way is hid from the Lord, and my judgment is passed over from my God?" I was just thinking about how the Lord is able to help us and strengthen us when he recognizes our need. I believe that this morning. I believe he knows our need. And Jesus brought out one place. He says he knows what we have need of even before we ask him. And I believe the Lord is sensitive to our needs, and he's trying to help us in our needs. And I was just thinking about, you know, when they wandered in the wilderness 40 years, afterwards he asked them, did your shoes wear out? And, you know, they didn't have Brown's shoe store that they could go to. But God, even in their failure, God was looking out after them and took care of them and was with them. The manna that he provided for them, he knew that there was a need there, and the Lord sent something that had never happened before or never hadn't known about it before. They'd never seen it before. And the Lord fed them with manna. And I'm just thinking about how the Lord helps us through our lives. He watches over us. He didn't say it would always be easy. He said there would be trouble. There would be difficulties. But the Lord is able to make a way and to help us in our times of trouble and times of difficulty. Also in Isaiah 41, the Lord gave me these scriptures at a time when I felt like I was on my way out, so to speak. I didn't have much hope. I didn't have much strength in my inner man. And it came through a message. Someone gave a message, but the timing of it was so important in what I needed. In verse 8 he says, "But thou, Israel, art my servant. Jacob, whom I have chosen, the seed of Abraham, my friend. Thou whom I have taken from the ends of the earth and called thee from the chief men thereof and said unto thee, Thou art my servant. I have chosen thee and not cast thee away. You know, those words were music to my ears. Because I felt like I was didn't have much of a future, didn't have much hope in my heart and spirit. But those words inspired me. He said, I have chosen thee and not cast thee away. Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee. Yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. So here in chapter 40 and chapter 41, both are the promises of strength and help when we feel faint and weary. Reading on in verse 13, it says, For I, the Lord thy God, will hold thy right hand, saying unto thee, Fear not, I will help thee. Fear not, thou worm Jacob. Now, I'm not for sure exactly why he called him a worm. But you know, worms, they don't have a whole lot. You know, they seem like they're bait for other things. The birds, after it rains, they eat worms. These worms come up. So I think he's probably, you know, realizing the situation. Sometimes we feel like a worm. Sometimes we feel like we're going to be eaten or consumed. But he says, Fear not, thou worm Jacob, and ye men of Israel, I will help thee, saith the Lord, and thy Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel. In verse 17 it says, When the poor and needy seek water, and there is none, and their tongue faileth for thirst, I, the Lord, will hear them. I, the God of Israel, will not forsake them. I will open rivers in high places and fountains in the midst of the valleys. I will make the wilderness a pool of water and the dry land springs of water. So, you know, I believe that we sometimes our spiritual life feels like that. Sometimes it feels like we're in places of a wilderness where our tongue fails for thirst. And we need spiritual blessing, help, and encouragement. And the Lord is promising here that He would open up rivers in high places. That He's able, and He showed that when they were coming out of Egypt. They got thirsty. They were in dry places there, and the Lord brought water out of places that it didn't look like there was any water there. I want to read a little bit of an article. I wanted to, hopefully, I got it on my phone. Hopefully this will work and stay up for me. It says, Beloved, it seems a sad thing that every day must die and be followed by a night. When we have seen the hills clad with verdure to their summit, and the seas laving their base with a silver glory, when we have stretched our eye far away and have seen the widening prospect full of loveliness and beauty, we have felt sad that the sunlight should ever set upon such a scene. And that so much beauty should be shrouded in the oblivion of darkness. But how much reason have we to bless God for the nights? For if it were not for the nights, how much of beauty never would be discovered? Never should I have considered the heavens the work of thy fingers, O my God, if thou hadst not first covered the sun with a thick mantle of darkness. The moon and the stars which thou hast ordained had never been bright in mine eyes, If thou hadst not hidden the light of the sun and bidden him retire within the curtains of the west. Night seems to be a great friend of the stars. They must be all unseen by eyes of men. Were they not set in the foil of darkness? It is even so with winter. We might feel sad that all the summers, that all the flowers of summer must die and all the fruits of autumn must be gathered into their storehouse, that every tree must be stripped, and that all the fields must lose their fair flowers. But were it not for winter, we should never see the glistening crystals of the snow. We should never behold the beauteous festoons of the icicles that hang from the eaves. Much of God's marvelous miracles of hoarfrost must have been hidden from us if it had not been for the cold chill of winter, which when it robs us of one beauty, gives us another. When it takes away the emerald of verdure, it gives us the diamond of ice. When it casts from us the bright rubies of the flowers, it gives us the fair white ermine of snow. We'll now translate those two ideas and you will see why it is that even our sin, our lost and ruined estate, has been made the means in the hand of God of manifesting to us the excellencies of His character. My dear friends, if you and I had been without trouble, we never could have had such a promise as this given to us. As thy days, so shall thy strength be. It is our weakness that has made room for God to give us such a promise as this. Our sins make room for a Savior. Our frailties make room for the Holy Spirit to correct them. All our wanderings make room for the Good Shepherd, that He may seek us and bring us back. We do not love nights, but we do love stars. We do not love weakness, but we do bless God for the promise that is to sustain us in our weakness. We do not admire winter, but we do admire the glittering snow. We must shudder at our own trembling weakness, but we still do bless God that we are weak, because it makes room for the display of His own invincible strength in fulfilling such a promise as this. You know, that article got my attention, and it's so true. You know, sometimes we just wish that everything was all nice summer, 70 degrees, not much wind, maybe 5 degrees. All the flowers are blooming. But this really brought out, you know, when we don't have that beauty, it allows us to begin to see another beauty. A beauty that we haven't seen before. And it's the same way he brought out as with the night. You know, if there was no night, we wouldn't see the beauty of the stars. And I think it's that way in our lives spiritually. I think God, you know, the things that He allows, it's to help us maybe to see a beauty that we haven't seen before, or to see something that we haven't seen before. So I thank the Lord this morning for the promises that He has given to us to help us and to strengthen us. And He does different ways. He has different ways of doing that for us. I remember reading an account, and I think I've shared this before, a long time back, but C.W. Naylor, you know, how he was paralyzed and in bed for the last part of his life, a big part of his life. And he looked out the window, and he'd see people coming and going. And, you know, you think he ever thought my way is hid from the Lord? He said there were other people that were healed. Other people were being healed, but he wasn't. He wasn't healed. He was feeling melancholy one winter morning. The snow was out on the ground. And there was a little bird that came up to his window. And he started watching it and viewing it. And the little bird got up there and it was like he was looking in the mirror. I don't know if he was seeing through the window or if he was seeing his own reflection. But he said the bird would turn his head this way and he'd turn his head that way and different directions. And the bird was chirping. And he would fly off, the bird would fly off, and then he would fly back, look in the window, turn his head, chirping, and then pretty soon he began to hear the words from that bird was, cheer up. To cheer up. And it was like, you. I believe that's what he said. You, cheer up, cheer up, cheer up. Anyway, that was something that God did for him. It was something that the Lord... And he began to think about that bird, the conditions that bird was in. The winter snows, the realities of winter that bird was facing. Food becomes more scarce. You know, in the wintertime, the ground's, buried in snow. And yet that bird, all those things dawned upon his soul. That bird still had a song in all those adverse conditions. And I thank the Lord today for songs that have been written. We have some wonderful songs. And I have been so blessed so many different times. I'll be singing a song and it happens to me so many times this way. It's I'll sing a song and I'll sing verses over and over. And after a while I began to realize the Lord is, that was the Holy Spirit bringing something to me. That's the Holy Spirit. I'm a little slow sometimes to get the message. But the Holy Spirit will bring, little things like that to us. The verses of a song. Maybe sometimes it's just the chorus. One of them has been coming to me lately, that song that says, if by simple faith in Jesus I abide, then my soul is fully satisfied. If by simple faith, it's not complicated, it's not difficult, it's not hard, it's just putting our trust and our confidence in Him, that God is able to the channel when we believe in Him and we look to Him. It opens the channel up for us to be receive things from Him. Years ago I had a occasion, I've shared this before too. And I hope I keep sharing it till I die. I don't want to forget it. But I was in my study there at Guthrie. And I had built I think it's still there, in the corner of the garage. And I put a window, I think, in there. I believe I had a window. Can't remember. I think I did. Anyway, I heard my chickens squawking terribly. They were making all kinds of commotion and noise. So I looked out, and lo and behold, there was a little rooster that came from next door. He came over to our house and was there. I guess he was interested in my hens. But the problem was I had a rooster too. We had a Rhode Island red rooster and some Rhode Island, because we were getting eggs, I believe, then. But the next thing I knew, that little rooster flew over the fence into our pen. And they started fighting. You know, roosters can be pretty, they can be pretty vicious. And so I walk outside, walk out there, and I'm watching this fight. And they're jumping up and spurring each other. And pretty soon I see blood. It's getting pretty serious. And then I see that little rooster. I saw him give up. I saw it. I saw it in his eyes. I was that close I could see. I was just a few feet. He closed his eyes. And he quit fighting. And I raised the fence at that part. And I knocked my rooster off. And that little rooster come flying out underneath that fence. And the Lord spoke to me there when I watched that. And I, you know, I think it was for me too. That little rooster still had life. He still had life in him. But he'd given up. He had lost his hope. He quit. But he still had life. It was evident as soon as I let the fence up. He came flying out of there and he went home. And to my knowledge, he never came back. And you know, that came to me, the spiritual lesson, that sometimes when we're discouraged, when we lose hope, it doesn't mean that we've lost our salvation. It doesn't mean that we don't have life. But maybe we've just lost some courage or strength to move forward. And so the Lord gave me courage through that. And I just think about how God can use different things to get a message to us. A message from heaven. A message that He wants us to receive in a personal way. He has things that He can speak to us that renews our hope, renews our courage, renews our strength. Sometimes we need to be strengthened and renewed just in prayer. You know, you look at situations and it looks like sometimes it's marriages, sometimes it's problems and issues that people have, and it's just like there's no change, and it's like this a downward spiral, and after a while it's like, Lord, is there any hope? And the enemy is in us losing hope. He's in us giving up on situations and just, you know, the Lord doesn't want us to do that. He wants us to be encouraged in our prayer life, to hold on to God. He said, when the poor and needy seek water and there is none, and their tongue faileth for thirst, I, the Lord, will hear them. I, the God of Israel, will not forsake them. You know, the Lord will make a way somehow. And that's what I get. My overall, the things that have been coming to my mind, your shoes didn't wear out in 40 years. I supplied you with food. The Lord just has a way of taking care of us. He has a way. When it looks like we're at a dead end, it looks like there's no avenue, there's no way for us, the Lord is able to open up a way. He's able to make a way that we didn't see. And you remember the story about Hagar and Ishmael? I love that. I love that account. I felt for Abraham. I don't know how you... Oh, that'd be awfully hard. to send her away. That would have been tough. But when the water was spent and the bread was spent, and she laid down her child under a bush, and she walked off a ways, a little distance from it, she had lost hope. Here she was, a female with a young child. And I don't know, I guess he would have been, 10? He was older than, wasn't very old. But she thought he was going to die. And there the Lord appeared to her. And there was a, what was that, a little well? Somehow her eyes were opened. It was right there close at hand. It was close at hand. But her lack of her fear, maybe, and I think sometimes it happens to us, our fear, our doubts keep us maybe from seeing the supply that God wants us to be able to see, the source of supply. But he knew where Hagar was at. How's that scripture? You might have to help me out. He said, let's see, that's in Genesis, I believe. But the words that got me was, what did he ask her? Did someone find that? What aileth thee? There, I'm sorry, I didn't get it. Come to my mind. Hagar, what aileth thee? What aileth thee? That's quite a question. What ails thee? But the Lord had a supply. He opened her eyes and she saw. She was able to see. And I thank God today that He's able to make a way for us. When we cry to Him and we look to Him, He's able to make a way and provide for us in our time of thirst, in our time of need. He's able to help us. And we thank God today for His kindness, His mercies, His help to us. If it wasn't for the Lord, I wouldn't be here. Said the youth would faint, even the youth in the strength and vigor. And boy, I don't have that now. The last few years, I have really felt a change and a difference. I have really, the neck, the nerves. I can really feel the difference. But it said even the youth would faint, even when you're in your youth, because there's always something in life that's bigger than us. There's always going to be something in life that we meet up with that's bigger than what we are. But God will make a way as we lift our hearts up to Him. Appreciate your attention and prayers this morning.